You are listening to the Gateway Church located in Ferriesburg, Michigan. You can learn more about us by visiting thegateway.church or like and follow us on Facebook, where you can watch full services, keep up with all that is going on, and get connected.
Today we're launching our fall series, which I've been excited about. It's based on the mantra that we've been sharing for the year 2025. Sometimes we'll make a take a word for the year, but this year we've got a mantra, and you've heard this before, but we're created a whole series for the fall around this idea that we do hard things. Will you say that with me? We do hard things. And the idea here is we're going to take some Old Testament and New Testament heroes of the faith that faced hard things, faced some impossibilities, and they survived. And not only did they survive, I would say in many cases, they thrived. And so each week there will be a new story with a new takeaway, and don't miss it this fall. And it's a great time to bring your guests, and we'll talk about that at the end of the service. But before we get too far into this, and I did notice that we got me running there, and I will be talking about running a little bit later. How did you do that, Pastor Bobby? That's what I want to know. But I was asking the question, like, what are the hard things that every one of us have to do? And I don't know, my mind went to, like, waking up when your alarm goes off without hitting snooze. Let's just do a little quick survey. How many of you are snoozers in the room? All right, you're snoozing, you're hitting the snooze. All right, leave your hands up. If you snooze more than once, keep your hand up. More than twice, three times, for an hour. All right, and then, so that means a lot of you are not snoozers. Let me see, if you're not a snoozer, all right, okay, wow. I wish I had that perspective, but I'm a snoozer, and so I was thinking snoozing, you know, getting out of bed when your alarm goes off, that can be hard, something we all have to do. But even more difficult than that is eating healthy. When pizza and donuts and ice cream exist, am I right? Is anyone with me? Am I talking to the right people this morning? Literally, I ate an entire pizza last night all by myself. You're welcome. Yes. Yes. And that's not the worst of it. On Wednesday, this is time for me to confess. On my way to a 12:30 appointment, I stopped at Subway, ate my sandwich, but they have cookies. And if you buy one, it's okay, but three, you get a discount. So I bought three, and I may have eaten all three of those cookies before my meeting, and then I get to my meeting, and they offer me a brownie and a cup of coffee. Couldn't deny that. And then after prayer on Wednesday night, I went home and had a big bowl of ice cream with four Chips Ahoy soft, chewy cookies with hot fudge over the entire thing. And I wish I was telling you a fib. I've got a problem. Healthy eating. It's hard. How many think it's hard sometimes to pick the healthy choice? Come on. All right. I'm not alone. All right. Good. Parenting. How many parents in the room? Let's see. Come on. Let's get proud parents. Yes, we got some parents. And we got some parents, whether your kids are babies or toddlers or teenagers, we're doing some hard things, parents, right? And Jessica and I, we're finding out that even parenting adult children, that's a thing. Trying to figure that out as we, it's all hard. Paying bills, managing our money wisely can be difficult, right? It's that daily grind, or it's that weekly or monthly saying, all right, I'm going to make the right decision. We all do hard things. We all do hard things when we choose to forgive someone who's hurt us deeply, right? Or we stay faithfully married when life gets tough. And the list could go on and on. There's hard things that we're all called to do. And we're going to lean into that this fall and look at these heroes of the faith and take away the key ideas each week. And the first idea is the idea of obedience. Everyone say obedience. Obeying God sometimes can be hard, especially when it doesn't make sense in the natural. It's a hard thing to do. And there's an example in Scripture right at the beginning where a man obeyed God and it didn't make sense and it saved an entire human race, really. And today we're going to talk about the life of Noah and his obedience. But before we do that, I just want to acknowledge that in Scripture we have already skipped over Adam and Eve, who did some hard things by naming all the animals and getting kicked out of the garden and trying to figure that out. And then parenting after their one son killed their other son. How many think that, you know, having a son that murdered someone and then, you know, working that out would be difficult? And we're also skipping chapter 5, where it links Adam to Noah, which we're going to talk about Noah. But in chapter 5, a few things just jumped out of me this week. And first of all, is that Adam lived 920 years. I wish I could live 920 years. Seth lived 912 years. Enoch lived, and by the way, I had an uncle Enoch, believe it or not, 365 years. And then he disappeared, just one of two people that disappeared in Scripture, and we don't know what happened to him. And then Methuselah, how many know he's the oldest man recorded in Bible history? 969 years old. And then we also find out in chapter 5 that Noah was 500 years, and he had Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Great names if you're pregnant and looking for boy names. And it sets up this incredible story of Noah and obedience through Genesis chapter 6 through 9. And we're not going to read Genesis 6 through 9, but I do encourage you this afternoon or this week, you should read the story and look for some of the truths that we're going to pull out. Well, in chapter 6, when it starts, it says that the people were multiplying over the earth. So they were increasing in number. In chapter 6, verse 4, talks about giants, the Nephilim, and some of you would love to study that. Pastor Bobby would love to talk to you about the Nephilim, and so he's available after service in the lobby. And then in verse 5, though, something kind of disturbing happens. It says that the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth. And then in verse 6 through 8, let's look at it. It says, so the Lord was sorry. You're like, what? That he ever made them and that he put them on the earth. It broke his heart. And the Lord said, I will wipe out this human race that I've created from the face of the earth. Yes, I will destroy every living thing, all the people, all the large animals and the small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I am sorry I ever made them. And you're thinking, wow, that's crazy. Some versions of your Bible might even say that the Lord repented, and get your mind around that. And then verse 8 is where I want to focus, though. It says that, but Noah found favor with the Lord. And this sets up one of the hardest things anyone ever was asked to do in all of Scripture. A hard job. And before we get there, you know where I'm headed with Noah and the ark. But I was thinking about hard jobs, and I'm wondering, what was the hardest job you have ever had? For me, it doesn't compare to what Noah experienced, but the hardest job I've ever had physically was when I was a kids pastor early on my day off. I worked with an industrial plumber that went to our church, and I'd work on Mondays, an 8 to 10 hour day, and literally all I would do, I would show up and I would shovel pea gravel, or I would run a jackhammer. And literally, I would be exhausted, I would be sore until Friday, and I'd be fine after that, and then I'd do it again on Monday. And we did that, I did that for a long time, several years, and that just was the way it was. But some jobs that you've had that are hard might be physically difficult, maybe emotionally, they might be mind benders, right? Today, we're going to look at a job that Noah had, was encouraged to do, that was very, very difficult. And so back to Noah, and he was asked to do one of the hardest things in all of history, unimaginably hard, humanly impossible, some would say. And throughout the story, through chapter 6 through 9, is laced this idea of obedience, and we're going to see it, that even when it didn't make sense, Noah trusted God even over human opinion. And so, chapter 6, verse 9, by that point in the scripture, what things start to change. And Noah, he's called out, he's called a righteous man. In fact, it says that he's the only one righteous living. He walked with God. He has the father of three sons. He's 500 years old. And when it describes the world in this set of scriptures here, it talks about a downward spiral, that it's corrupt, and it's not just a few people, it's everyone. And Noah is the only one that is righteous. Verse 13, God decides to destroy everything. He tells Noah about it. It's a total reset on God's heart and God's mind. And then God asks Noah to build a boat. He's very specific. It's like a cruise ship. It's massive. It's like the first Carnival cruise, right? Or the first Royal Caribbean or Princess cruise. And some, when you look and say, oh, how big was it? I'm not sure if you've ever been to Kentucky, to the Ark experience. Anybody in the room? Okay, it was massive, right? Some people estimate, they like to say how many railroad stock cars would have been able to be fit inside the Ark, and they estimate somewhere around 250 railroad stock cars. We're talking massive, right? And then what happens? God explains that he's about to flood the earth. Noah has no comprehension of this, but he's going to destroy everything. He gives Noah instruction to save his family and the animals, two at a time. And oh yeah, verse 21, bring all the food that you're going to need, enough food for how long? He didn't say how long, for everyone. And then verse 22, let's hone in on this verse. It says, so Noah did everything exactly as God commanded him. So we're looking for obedience in the story, and we see here in verse 22 that Noah follows instruction. And the first point today is that God's word often defies human logic. But Noah still obeyed. We're talking about obedience. Build a massive boat on dry land where they've never seen rain or rain like that. He would have been laughed at, mocked at. He would have been ignored. And the truth of the matter is, when we study obedience in Scripture and obedience to God, it looks oftentimes foolish to the world. That's the truth. How many know God's ways are higher than our ways? We look through a dim glass, the Bible says. And the question I want us to wrestle with, and I really want to encourage you to think about this as I move through the message, is what is one thing God is asking you to do right now that doesn't make sense to others? What is God asking you to do that doesn't make sense to your family, at school, in your business, at church? It could be happening right here. There are things that God will ask believers to do that are hard and oftentimes don't make sense. Like forgiving someone. Some people were like, I'd rather build an ark than forgive so-and-so. And it's hard to forgive because it goes against our natural feelings of anger and pride and our desire for justice. Or that God may be leading you to love your enemies and bless those that curse you. Remember, we just went through the Sermon on the Mount, and we learned there, well, that's hard because it requires humility and selflessness and radical grace. Or maybe God is bringing you to a hard place to take a risk for the kingdom of God, to share your faith, or to go on a missions trip, or to go on the missions field, or to start giving in some way. And you say, well, that's hard because it costs our comfort or our safety, or maybe our reputation. Or maybe God is asking you to confess your sin, turn from your sin. You're saying, that's hard. And it's hard because it requires humility. It requires accountability in many cases, and often lifestyle change. And Noah, he's facing this hard choice. In verse 22, we've highlighted it before, but again, just to bring it back, is Noah did everything exactly as God commanded him to do. So let's move into chapter 7. Noah completes the work. He gets his final instructions to load up the ship. And it's interesting, I was thinking about that. Jessica and I, we literally were just on a cruise a couple weeks ago in Alaska. And when we were on the cruise, when we pulled into dock that final day, they went to work clearing out and bringing in supplies. And I was just thinking, man, the amount of supplies for 1 week, and to think about for 40 days and 40 nights, and literally the extent of the ark experience was about a year, and he had 7 days to do this. But look again, Genesis chapter 7, verse 5, but Noah did everything the Lord commanded him. We're seeing a pattern here of obedience. Noah was about 600 years old when the flood covered the earth. And that leads us to the second point. Not only is there this idea of when God calls us to obedience, that it may not be humanly, like in our minds, it may not make sense humanly, the human logic, especially when there's extreme obedience, but also obedience requires perseverance. This is really important. I think, to me, this is one of the most important things of the morning, that the ark was not built on a weekend adventure. It took decades of labor. It was daily obedience stacked over time to create God's future for mankind. Daily surrender. Daily investment. If you're familiar in the investing world, a DCA, a dollar cost averaging, like that, like you just set it and you forget it. It takes time. Noah did not just start with faith, right? He kept at it day in and day out. The point here is that obedience is rarely glamorous. It requires daily faithfulness, brick by brick, decision by decision. And it's the idea that you settle in your heart. I'm going to choose today whom I'm going to serve. I'm going to build on a solid foundation. And you make those decisions in your life, and you start knocking off those days. Kind of like the Ironman that I'm going to be doing in 13 weeks, 13 weeks away from today, Patagon Man. And day by day, I'm just knocking off workouts. Yesterday was a 4-hour and 15-minute bike ride and then a 25-minute run. Today, a 2.5-hour trail run with a 30-minute swim. Any volunteers want to join me this afternoon, late afternoon? Nobody? I'll just say it's not glamorous being by myself. It's hard. But obedience requires perseverance. It's that day by day. It's that pushing through. In obedience, sometimes when it comes to our health, we've got to do what the doctor says, or we've got to, you know, when it comes to our finances, you know, to look at someone that is doing better than we are, saying, okay, how can I learn? And it's often the day by day or the month by month decisions. But it requires that perseverance in our spiritual walk with the Lord as well. That daily time with Jesus, daily dealing with our sin nature, all these things, they add up and it will pay off. Obedience requires perseverance, and it's hard. Now, just a quick side note, I was thinking about this. You might be thinking, oh, Noah and the ark, did that really happen? Well, as I was studying, I didn't realize this, but almost every culture worldwide has a flood story in their history. Now, I happen to believe the Bible is true, that it happened just like the Bible said. And so let's get back to that story. Look at it. Genesis chapter 7, verse 23 says, God wiped out every living thing on earth. People, livestock, small animals, the birds of the sky, all were destroyed. And only people who survived, the only people who survived, were Noah and those with him in the boat. Wow. You move into Genesis chapter 8 and 9, and we see that the flood covered the earth, even to the highest mountaintops. God remembered Noah, though. He didn't leave him high and dry, although he was dry and in the boat. The water started to recede. They send out a raven first, and then a dove, and the dove eventually comes back with an olive leaf in his beak. And they exit the ark, and Noah builds an altar to the Lord, a thank you, a memorial, a place to look back at the faithfulness of God, that literally God saved the human race through this. And we're talking 1 year later. Now Noah is 601 years old, and the Lord was pleased with Noah's obedience. And he gave him a promise, the promise of the rainbow, a covenant that he would never destroy the earth, and he would never flood it in that way ever again. And then at the very end of chapter 9, verses 28 and 29, says Noah lived another 350 years after the great flood. He lived 950 years, and then he died. And you think, wow, all right, what a story. And in that, with obedience, we see that God's word often defies human logic, but we still are called to obey. Obedience requires perseverance, that's for sure. And then the third point today is that obedience brings God's salvation. That's exactly what happened here. And that's exactly what happens when we obey the Lord as well. He brings hope for here and for eternity. In Noah's case, his obedience saved his family and preserved humanity. His faith wasn't just for himself, it blessed generations. And this is a point that I want to make super clear, that our obedience today may be the very thing that saves or shapes someone else's tomorrow. We're going to hear a story about that in just a minute. Pastor Sean will share. But all with the idea that when we're called to obedience, we are called to do the hard thing. Obedience when it even doesn't make sense. Trusting God's word over human opinion. That's exactly what Noah's story shares for us. And every obstacle that Noah faced, the excuses that would have been endless, like, hey, the dry land, or it never rained like this, or a huge boat, what? Or the animals? Yeah, right. Or I'm all alone in this. So he would have been mocked, and for decades, the timing, all the things. The truth is that obedience often doesn't make sense. Obedience to God's word is not easy, and it certainly is not popular. But when the word of God speaks, we are called to follow and to do the best we can. And that helps us to understand that when God asks us to forgive, he really means it. When he says to love our enemies, we're really called to love. When we're called to confess our sins, we're called to do these things. Our accountability, or speaking the truth, or being courageous, and the list could go on. When God calls us and shows us what's next, we can take a step of faith, we can move in those directions, and with God's help, we can see his work accomplished in us. Now, some of you may be questioning, like, well, how do you know when it's God speaking? Or how, do I know if it's God? Or can we even trust him? Well, there's something I've used with people for years, and it's just three simple things. A litmus test. What does God's word say? What about wise counsel? And is there a peace about it? Let me explain just for a second. These three things I really relate to us in wrestling with how do we know if what is being shared or what God is impressing on our heart, is it from the Lord? First of all, does it line up with God's word? God never asks us to disobey his word. That's the truth. Second, wise counsel, people in our lives, trusted mentors, pastors, mature believers. What are they saying? Where are they going? And so that means there may be some people in your life that fit that category. There may be others that you don't go to them for advice because they're not going to give you wise or a perspective that goes back to God's word. And then the third is that peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding. That's what you look for. When God's moving you or God's helping you, God gives a sense of conviction, a clarity, and ultimately a peace to walk in his ways. So, for us this morning, almost this afternoon, what is God asking you to do? What is God speaking in this season that might be hard? what is that Holy Spirit prompting, something that he's called you or nudging you to do? Will it be an audible voice? It certainly could be, may not be. What scripture, though, what is you're reading through the Bible, what's jumping out at you? Or maybe the Lord has been dealing with you about a sin issue in your life, or maybe about your future or a relationship. What I'd like for each of us to do, and I'm going to ask the worship team to join me, and Pastor Sean, you can join me as well, is I'd like for you to identify one area where you need to obey God this week, even if others don't understand. What is one area you need to obey God in this week, even if others don't understand? I've asked Pastor Sean, I was chatting with him on Thursday after the message was kind of set, and just I'd already turned in my notes to Bonnie, and I was like, you know, hey, this is what I'm talking about on Sunday, and you have a good example of someone following the Lord's leading and God honoring that, even though it may not have made sense. And he shared a story from the youth group, and they must have given you permission because you called them out. It's really a story about Lily over here, I asked Pastor Sean, I was like, man, would you share that? And thanks for the permission to share it. But we were just going to share it without their name, but it's better knowing who it was. But why don't you share this story that you shared with me, and then we're going to all wrestle with, all right, what is the Lord speaking to me, to each of us, to do?
Yeah, absolutely. So just over a year ago, the Slorfs, really the entire family, was facing a hard thing, a hard decision that they had to make. And that decision was, do I switch from WMC to Mona Shores? Lily was going into her senior year, and so that means when you have relationships built up over a different school, then you go into a new school, that brings different social pressures, that brings just a whole different environment and whole different things. And even from Melissa, you know, they're wondering, you know, what's that going to be like, you know, like culture-wise, and even with what's going on in the world, you know, how's it going to affect my kids? And it's a hard decision to make, especially for one going into senior year, to say, you know what, let's switch schools. And because they made that decision, they end up going from WMC to Mona Shores. What we saw in a youth group perspective was them following God's obedience. They felt like that's something that God was leading them to do. We saw salvations take place.
Yeah.
Because they went to Mona Shores, there's consistently 10 plus kids in the youth ministry because of the obedience that the Slore family had. Wow. We saw salvation take
Love
place.
It.
We saw perseverance take place in their own life. And it really, truly is a great story of a family, as an example, them doing a hard thing, switching schools, and seeing God's blessing out of it.
Yeah. I love it. Thanks, Sean, for sharing that. And Melissa, as you guys wrestled with that and saying, all right, Lord, what is the direction? You know, how do you determine? Well, what does God's word say? Probably doesn't speak directly to high school, like, does it make sense? But then wise counsel, and then that peace of God. And once you had that peace, and then to look back, and we're so grateful that you made that decision, and it turned out that the Lord was in that for that decision. And today, I just believe that God, he's working in each of us in different ways, in different seasons, in different situations. And the great thing is that you might be sitting next to someone and God speaks something completely different, but we all can identify, Lord, what is it that you have me to do to follow you in obedience this week, this season? And I want to just encourage you that as we wrestle with that, as we close today, I want you to just give that to the Lord, and I want your faith to build and to trust that God, he will meet you and he will help you. And when we build our lives on the foundation of Jesus and we're trusting him, he's with you. He's going to help you. And just like he helped Noah, he's going to help you through even when it's hard. I want us to stand this morning, and I've asked Pastor Bobby, he was on vacation this week, but I texted him, I said, hey, what do you think about the song Build My Life and to close? And so it's a great song, and there's a part of this that speaks to trusting in God and God alone. And when we sing that, really the whole song, I want you to think about that. What is God calling you to do in obedience this week that others may not even understand? And to sing this, that, Lord, we're going to build our life on you. You're the foundation. And then when we get to that part, I will trust in you and in you alone. I want you to sing it out with gusto. And so, Pastor Bobby, why don't you lead us? And then we're not quite done after that, but we'll get there. Yeah.
Lord, we just thank you for your word, that it illuminates, Lord, that it confronts us, Lord, in areas where we struggle to follow, we struggle to obey. Lord, and I'm reminded of words I read a couple weeks ago, that discipleship isn't about any other action, it's about whether or not we will obey and follow you. So Lord, help us to follow you. Help us to be obedient in every step that we take, every breath that we breathe, Lord, whether it's here in church, whether it's at home, whether it's at work, whether it's out in the world, Lord, let us be obedient to follow you. Lord, in the things we read, in the things that we watch, in the way that we talk, in the things that manifest in our heart, let us be obedient. Let us walk faithfully with perseverance because you were faithful and persevered yourself, Lord. Help us to worship you with our lives. That everywhere we go, everything we do, every breath we breathe will be for you and for you alone. So, Lord, we just yield ourselves to you today. We take ourselves out of the pilot seat, Lord, and we give you control. Help us to just be faithful to follow. Lord, and we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your example that you show us. The path to follow, we know the path is narrow, but Lord, we will follow after you in everything. And we know as we do that your Spirit will be before us, your Spirit will be behind us, your Spirit will be all around us, empowering us in every step we take. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Thanks, Pastor Bobby. I'm going to ask that you be seated just for another moment. The first Sunday of every month, we this year have done a Built to Thrive update. And a Built to Thrive update is in regards to the call that God has put on us to build additional space as we're growing as a church. Built to Thrive offices, classrooms, and this particular message about Noah and being obedient even when it doesn't make sense really hit me strong as I was laying out the series. I was like, I'm going to start with Noah because of this this idea. And with our Built to Thrive, we have committed as a church to be debt free. And I'll just say that is a hard stance to take. It's somewhat unheard of in these days, and there are arguments or people have said, hey, it's better stewardship to go to the bank because of the increases of prices and the increases of labor, or we're limiting our growth because we're not moving ahead fast enough, or things like that. And I will just say that as we have talked about this, and even in close circles recently, there's a mandate for me as your pastor. I won't always be the pastor of the Gateway Church. We want to be here a long time, but at some point that may change. But it's like a mantle on my life, a weight that I carry, that we will be debt-free. And it's all, so I even met with my counselor this last week, and I was like, is this a sacred cow? Is this something I need to just, you know, walk away from? And he has known me a long time, and he says, Ben, I don't see that. I don't see ego. He says, the way he described it, he said, I feel like it's almost like an Old Testament prophetic word spoken over your life. And he says, I would stay the path. And so that's what we're doing. So I wanted to talk about the debt-free nature. And we do hard things, and this is one of those where we trust God even over human opinion or human wisdom. And just like Noah, it seemed impossible. God was with Noah every step by step, and I believe God's going to be with us step by step. Can I hear an amen to that? And so, anyway, I wanted to give you that perspective. I wanted to also say that year to date, our giving this year alone, we've given together about $55,217. And that is, I want to say thank you. We appreciate that. Continue to, as the Lord supplies, to give. That is up about $30,000 just in the last month. And so thank you for that. And that's exciting. Along this journey, as we are saying, hey, we're built a tribe, we're building, we need more space, we have experienced, we have experienced about 25% growth over the last 12 months. And this is something we can celebrate as a church, and it's exciting. I would encourage you to share the good news. Keep on inviting your friends and your family that need their lives changed. They need the power of Jesus in their lives. And with that, not only are we raising funds, but we are also saying, okay, we know we're growing, and we're going to need to scooch in this season. And it's, you know, pretty full here. There's a few spots, but we know that this fall and moving forward, we're going to need to make room for one more. And we said in the springtime, before the summer, that no later than March of 2026, we will go to 3 services. And this is big news. Some of you have heard this or remember that, but we are reminding ourselves. We actually, this week, Tuesday night, the board and the staff will be together. We are praying, discerning through what that's going to look like, timing and all the things. And so pray for us as we continue to grow in that way. And then the last thing I would say is we are praying and seeking wisdom in regards to pivoting. So far, Built to Thrive has really been phase 2. And we have material out in the lobby that you can grab and read about that. It explains our need and all the things, and you can certainly do that. But we are seriously asking the Lord, is it time for us to combine phase 3 with phase 2? And this is a decision that will be made by the church, by the voting members. But this is something we're wrestling with. We are getting quotes behind the scenes. We're seeking counsel and considering pivoting and saying, all right, maybe phase 2, and what phase 3 is, it's an extension of the sanctuary, almost doubling the size of the sanctuary, and then also adding some youth space, and it would include then at that point phase 2 as well. And so there's a lot to be grateful for. It's an exciting season, but also we covet your prayers in this season as your leaders are, we're deciding and saying, hey, where do we go from here? And trust me, we're trying to seek the Lord. We're running these things through that filter. What does God's word say? What we're looking for, wise counsel, and then we're looking for that peace in regards to every step, every move. And so with that, I want you to stand. And there's a famous quote by Hudson Taylor that I want to leave us with, and then we'll be on our way. Hudson Taylor was an 1800s missionary to China. Left Europe, went to China, and literally gave his life for the Chinese people. 54 years he served in China. It's mind-blowing. And he said, and he's been, this is a quote of his, that there are 3 stages to every great work of God. 3 stages. First, it's impossible. And when we think about what's ahead of us, there are some parts of what we're facing as a church that seem impossible. He said, first, it's impossible. He says, number two, then it's difficult. And boy, when we think about we do hard things, I would say, then it's hard. And then Hudson Taylor said, it's first impossible, then it's difficult, and then it's done. And I'm believing that we're going to walk through those three phases, that God is working, He is helping us, and He is going to strengthen us through this. He's going to continue to protect us. He's going to just be with us every step of the way. And I am encouraged by your faithfulness. And I want to say thank you. Continue to share the good news and invite someone this fall as we continue with this series, We Do Hard Things. And God bless you. We love you. Pastor Bobby's already prayed our benediction. Go before us, behind us, all around us. And you are dismissed. Turn and greet someone. God bless you as you go.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Gateway Church. If you'd like to find out more about our church, such as service times, giving, and ways to get connected, visit us at thegateway.church.